Good morning, everyone. How are you doing? Good, good. Happy Mother's Day for all you mothers out there. Just one day a year, I don't think is enough to just show our appreciation to the mothers, but I hope you do feel appreciated today some way, somehow. I don't know what it's like to be a mother, but I'm sure it's tough, so happy Mother's Day. Today I want to talk about our vision. I've been here for about 3 months now, and I just want to share with the congregation where I feel the Lord is leading not just our church, but Tucson in general. But I do believe this is a vision from the Lord for our church as well. Before I talk about our vision, I want to talk about vision in general. In Proverbs 29:18, it says, "Where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint, but blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction." Another translation says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." I believe any organization, any group, even any family needs a vision. A vision from the Lord so they won't perish. And in the opposite, instead of perishing with a vision, I believe the people will strive. Amen? Couple of things about vision. I'm not a master in any sense about vision, but just a couple of things. One, vision doesn't change. It doesn't matter how tough things get or how far away we are from the vision. Vision doesn't change. Vision always stays the same. Everything we do should be born out of the vision. Second thing, vision lingers. Oftentimes, vision lingers. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen in a week. It doesn't happen in a month. If you look in the Bible, just the stories of people that have heard from the Lord, it takes time, years. And sometimes, the vision isn't fulfilled in their lifetime. I can think of people like Moses, who was given a clear vision to take the people out of Egypt into the promised land. That's what God told Moses to do. And if you know the story, it's found in Exodus. Moses takes the people out of the promised land, but he never takes the people out of Egypt, but never enters the promised land. The next generation, they get to go into the promised land. So vision, one, it doesn't change. Two, oftentimes, it lingers. But even though it lingers, even though it tarries, if it's from the Lord, I believe it will be fulfilled one way or another, whether through us or through someone else. Third, and practically, a vision gives us focus. It gives us purpose. It tells us where to put our resources, how to spend our time, how to spend our money, how to spend our people. I don't know if you spend people, but how we should spend our energy as people, as a group. And so I believe a vision is very important. It's very important to have vision, and it's very important that we are on the same page. I remember I used to play basketball. I still try to play basketball, but in high school, thank you, honey. In high school, I was on the basketball team, and our coach, he'd have this phrase. He'd say, "We need to be on the same page. We need to be on the same page." And vision gives us that. It gives us purpose, it gives us focus, it gives us, are we on the same page? And so today I'm going to share about what I feel the Lord is leading us towards. And so, drum roll please. JCCT, I believe our vision is that we would be a place to encounter the Lord. A place to encounter God. JCCT, that this church, Sundays, when we come together, that it would be a place to encounter God. Very simple, I know. Maybe a little abstract, what does it mean to encounter God? So I want to talk about that today. I was going to do both our vision and our core values today, and as I was working on it, I felt like that's just too much. I'm just going to focus on our vision today, and the next couple weeks I'll talk about our core values. But for our vision, I want JCCT, not I want JCCT, but JCCT will be a place where when people come, they would authentically encounter the living God. Amen. Why come to church if you're not going to encounter God? I believe people come to church to encounter God. I'm going to share two stories. One story is what encountering God doesn't look like, and the next one, the second story, what encountering God looks like. So the first one is what encountering God doesn't look like. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 4. To put this story in context, this is Jesus' first recorded sermon according to Luke. And it's in his hometown of Nazareth. Luke chapter 4, starting from verses 14 through 30. Let me read. It said, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath, he went into the synagogue, and was, as was his custom, he stood up to read. Excuse me, I have to correct myself. This wasn't Jesus' first sermon, or first message. In verse 15, it tells us clearly that he's been speaking and people has been praising him for his ability to speak and to just conduct worship. It says in verse 15, he was teaching in their synagogues and everyone praised him. Verse 16, he went to Nazareth and he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. Let's stop there for a minute. It says, all were amazed. So Jesus was teaching in the synagogue. He comes and he rolls open Isaiah and he starts speaking. And this is a prophetic utterance of what the Messiah would look like. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Verse 21, he says, He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the grace-filled words that came from his lips. Now, that word, full of grace, was in his lips. Full of grace flowed out of his lips. I believe what that means is there was an unction that allowed what he said to come to pass. There was the grace and anointing on his speaking that when he said those words, faith arose in people. That this is possible. That this is about to be fulfilled, kind of thing. It was amazing. Jesus, one of the greatest healer of all time, the greatest miracle worker of all time, the greatest teacher of all time, is in the synagogue's teaching. And everyone recognizes there's something absolutely different about this guy. And something is about to change. There's about to be a shift. There's already been a shift in the spiritual atmosphere. People feel it. People's faith are just, you know, it's off the roof kind of thing. There's just an electricity and energy there. Grace is in the room because his words were full of grace. And right when revival is about to break out, right when people are about to get healed, you know, whenever Jesus taught, it was usually teaching, healing, miracles, signs, wonders, demons being cast out. I believe this was about to happen after he spoke those words. But it says that here, right as they were amazed and they were just praising him, a single, sarcastic, cynical thought comes to mind, and someone speaks it. It says, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they ask. Boom. That's called a showstopper. It shut everything down. The faith that was in the room, all of a sudden, flat on the floor. The grace that was in the room all of a sudden left the building. These people in Nazareth, they had all the right ingredients for an encounter with God. I mean, God was in their midst. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, was in their midst. And when revival, encounter, was at the threshold, it was shot down by a cynical thought. Isn't this Joseph's son? The story does not end well. No, it doesn't record anyone being healed. It doesn't record any demons being cast out. It doesn't record anything happening. Except rejection of Jesus. That's a story to illustrate what a JCCT should not be. Amen? I don't want people coming here and having cynical thoughts, and when there could have been, should have been, would have been a miracle, signs, wonders, healing. And nothing happens. That's just a waste of time. The vision for JCCT is I hope and pray that this will be a place where people encounter God. And what does an encounter look like? Let's turn to Luke 7. Luke 7 from verse 18. Luke 4 was about how not to have an encounter. Luke 7 is what an encounter looks like. Luke 7, verse 18. If you read the two stories before this story, it's just a bunch of encounters. Chapter 7 starts off with the centurion coming to Jesus and a person being healed. This story right before this one is about a widow's son being raised from the dead. With all these things happening, now we get to our story. It says, John's disciple told him all these things, told John all these things. John calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" Now that's an interesting question John will ask, especially since John saw the Spirit of the Lord descending on Jesus. And John knew that Jesus was the Son of God, but in between John's proclamation of that and Jesus' death and resurrection, John started to doubt whether Jesus was actually the Messiah. And the reason why, I believe, is because he had his own expectation of what a Messiah should look like. And so he calls John's disciples and asks, you know, is Jesus, go ask the Lord if he's really the Messiah or if there's somebody else to come. Verse 20. When the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sickness, and evil spirit, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messenger, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." John's question was, are you the Messiah? You're not fulfilling expectations I had. You're not fulfilling expectations that we as a nation had. We thought the Messiah was going to restore the kingdom of David. We thought the Messiah was going to bring us out under oppression from Rome. And Jesus says this: you're looking for a kingdom, but my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not like Rome. It's not like Babylon. My kingdom is of heaven. And when heaven invades earth, this is what it looks like. It looks like healing. It looks like blind people receiving sight. It looks like deaf people hearing. It looks like dead people raising from the grave. It looks like the good news being proclaimed. And isn't that interesting how Isaiah 35 sort of mirrors what Jesus says? It says in Isaiah 35, our scripture reading today, starting from verse 5, it says, "Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert." I'm sure John's disciples knew about this passage. And when Jesus started saying that, "Haven't you seen what I've been doing?" And when he began to remind them of what he was doing, that this verse, probably in other verses talking about the Messiah, would have came up into their mind and said, "You're right. The scriptures does talk about when God encounters earth, that these things will happen. And these signs will authenticate that you are the Son of God." Jesus ends by saying, blessed is he who does not take, blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me, or who is not offended because of me. I hope the vision for JCCT doesn't offend anyone, but I believe an encounter with God will look like what the scripture says it looks like. Is when people encounter God, I believe there is a certain amount of signs, wonders, miracles, healing. Both physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, all of those. Salvation, I believe, is not just going to heaven, but that salvation is of the whole person. You know, about a month ago, we had a leadership retreat, and I shared with the leaders just the vision of JCCT. And as we were sharing, and I was sharing and discussing our vision and our core values, we had a guest speaker, Cheryl Allen. She is the director of PIHOP, which is Pasadena House of Prayer in Pasadena, California. Her messages are on our website. Go ahead and check it out. But one of the things she said in the messages is that Isaiah 35, the one we just read this morning, is for us. She believes Isaiah 35 is for us and is for Tucson. And Isaiah 35, for those of you who aren't familiar with Isaiah, it is prior to chapter 35, from chapters 1 through 34, it talks about a lot of judgment. And it's in 35 where the good news is finally proclaimed. It's from judgment, 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 and then finally, there's some good news. It breaks out with good news of God, just God's grace is just as rich as his judgment. Let me read 35 again. It says, the desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it. The splendor of Carmel and Sharon, they will see the glory of the Lord. Amen. Obviously, we're in the desert. So people may say this is a parched land, but the promise is that these places will be glad. And they will be glad because God will visit it. I believe Isaiah 35 is not just for us, but for the city of Tucson. And I hope my vision and my hope is that this place will be a place that stewards that well. Where when people ask, what kind of church is JCCT, that you would confidently be able to say, it's a place where you can encounter God. Where if a visitor comes to JCCT, they will say, wow, God's presence is evident here. Where people will say, if I need a touch from God, I need to go to JCCT. That is my hope. That is the vision. That is what we're going to work for. That is what we're going to put our resources in. That this place will be a place where we could encounter God. Just as the scriptures recorded it when Jesus was on the earth. And Jesus says it plainly himself. He says, when you pray, pray this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. This passage in Isaiah 35 where it talks about, then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Waters will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. You know, a lot of scholars say, you know, this must be at the second coming. This sounds too good to be true to be for now. But Jesus says clearly, pray this way, your kingdom come, your will be done, here on earth as it is in heaven. Now the complete fulfillment of this scripture will never be fulfilled here on this side of heaven. But we should see glimpses of it. And the reality of scripture should be the reality we experience when we come together. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace. We pray, Lord, that JCCT would be a place where we can encounter you. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come and fill each and every one of our hearts. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would give each and every one of us faith, Lord. Faith in you. Faith that the reality of Scripture can be a reality here today. That even when our experiences doesn't line up with the reality of Scripture, that we will not lose hope, Lord. God, I ask that you would continue to fill our hearts, our lives. I ask that you would fill this place, Lord. I thank you so much. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.